Sideline Sanity with Michelle Tafoya.
We're with Colli Fontanilla.
I'm not a fan of TikTok, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to start doing TikTok videos where I make fun of woke teachers in this mask. So I call her Miss Luna Activist, and she says all of the crazy things that woke teachers say. Some people thought she was real. So many people being like, whoa, like, who is this teacher? Get her fired. And that's where it went viral. It also went viral on Facebook.
Streaming on Apple Podcasts and SalemPodcastNetwork.com.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this November 3rd, 2022. And tonight we just have, it's just Courageous Craig and me. Hey, Courageous.
Good evening, and Dr. Glidden made it.
Okay, well, then it's not just Courageous Craig and I. It's we also have with us tonight, joining us is Dr. Peter J. Glidden, M.D.
Woohoo!
You made it in already. I was wondering, I got carried away and didn't give you a heads up like I normally do. Do you want me to give you the heads up so far?
No, we're good. Okay. I just lost track of time, but I snuck in under the wire, Pastor.
Well, you got here just in time because we got a whole lot of stuff we got to cover tonight, and you're right. just the guy. Now, the title of my message was "God Has Chosen Their Delusion." God has chosen, and over in Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 4, God says, because of their disobedience, because of their rebelliousness and sinful ways, that God is going to choose, he said, he will choose their delusion. Boy, God's got a sense of humor. He has really chosen some delusions for those on the left. And so we went through Isaiah 66 and also Romans chapter 1. So tonight we're going to pick up on some of those delusions of the left out there. Now, you recently heard last week, Joe Obama Biden, he was out there saying, the economy is great. The GNP rose by 2%. The economy is great. So when they believe that they can convince the American people that the economy is good and getting better when people have to choose between food and keeping warm this winter. Now, they're saying that we should be glad that we have that choice. What do you think? Is that delusionary?
100,000,000%. It's unbelievable.
What about, yeah, you can print $7 trillion worth of paper money without devaluating the dollar. Is that a delusionary?
Yeah, that's delusionary. And also, I just found out earlier tonight, a mystery buyer bought 300 tons of gold. 300 tons of gold.
Well,
people are stockpiling heavy metals, and I don't think it's a bad idea.
I know that I had been told that George Soros owned over 40 tons, but 300 tons. Okay, well, we'll talk about that because there's a method to this madness and what is happening right now with this and what they're doing. I'll just tell you what they're doing. You probably already know this, but with the economy getting worse, a number of people are having to sell their gold, silver, just to pay their bills, to pay the rent. And those that have stocked up, and it's down. It's being kept down purposely, artificially, right now, by the Buffetts, by the Soros, and by these people now. And so here the idea is once enough is dumped back on the market, once enough people dump and sell their, then they buy it all up, then the price goes up. Then it goes way up. It sounds to me like you've got an allergy there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I had myself muted. Did you just hear me sneeze?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you did it very well.
Son of a gun. Oh, thank you very much. I'm sorry to hear that. I thought I hit the mute button.
No,
No, the seasons change here, and every time the seasons change, I get a little bit of a head cold for a couple of days, but, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. But I think you're absolutely right. That's interesting that it's a shell game.
Yeah.
They're going to fix the market. They're going to drive prices lower. Then they're going to buy everything up the same way that they did in the Great Depression. That's how the Kennedys made all their money.
They did that in 2008.
The dollar.
Yeah. Well, they did that in 2008. They did that in 2008, yeah. That you can, here's another delusion, that you can shut off the oil pipelines, you can close down the coal mines, that you can shut down the refineries, that you can close down the nuclear power plants, you can outlaw fracking without causing an energy crisis. Now, that's delusionary, isn't it?
100%. Pretty soon we're going to run out of diesel, and then God only knows what's going to happen.
Well, they're already rationing diesel, and it's over $6 a gallon up here already. Here's the next delusion, number six, that a nation can remain a nation with open borders. In other words, that the Biden crime cartel can continue to be the gatekeeper for the Mexican drug cartels and for the human traffickers without the American people eventually finding out. I've been telling people now for the last couple of years that the Biden crime family, their job is to keep the gates open so they can bring the drugs and smuggle the people in, and then the money gets kicked back. It gets kicked back to the crime cartel, just like the thing with China and everything else. Okay, number seven. That ABC, NBC, CBS, NPR, PMS, NBC, CNN, Facebook, YouTube can continue to cover up the crimes of the left forever. That's what it's coming out. I mean, have you seen, they've turned on the echo chamber, and you've got the talking heads out there all right now repeating the very same lie. They say, this is your lie. You're going to tell this lie. They call it a narrative. But they are in lockstep. This is in lockstep. And they're losing believability at a rapid rate. I mean, at a rapid rate. There's not one single journalist in that whole, what I just mentioned, they have not one single journalist, not one, okay? These have become nothing but shock jocks.
Yeah,
number eight.
Was 100% right when he called it fake news, right?
Absolutely. It's been that way. Absolutely. Number eight, that you can defund the police, replace them with social workers, and not see total lawlessness and riots. And what have we seen in the last couple of years? Total lawlessness and riots. Those people that have, in those cities like Minneapolis and that have defunded the police, well, they've hired those police that have been laid off for their own personal security. And after all, you know, they're above the people. The people that pay their salaries, who are they? These are liberal elites. Liberal elites consider themselves to be the elite, to be better, okay, than those people that they're supposed to represent.
Over 300 cars were carjacked in downtown Chicago in the month of August. I think it was like 360-something in downtown Chicago.
I wonder, is... What's her name? Lesbian Lightfoot? Is she getting kickbacks for all that? Lori, Lesbian Lightfoot?
Yeah, Lori, she, Beetlejuice. She's She's a piece of work. It's unbelievable why she's even still there. I have a friend who his father was, he was like the unelected mayor of Chicago. He owned an automobile dealership in Chicago, and he knew everybody. He was just one of those guys, right, who knew everybody. And he had a lot of friends in the police department. And the word around Chicago now is that the only thing that the cops are talking about is how long until they can retire. How many more days you have, how many more weeks you have, how many more years you have, because everybody hates the job, because the lesbian Lori Lightfoot's making it impossible to be a cop.
With all the killings of the police officers around the country, a lot of them just want to, you know, even when it's in the good areas, want to get out before it gets bad at their area. Then you got the dirty cops. You got the dirty 30 from the FBI. You got the dirty DC, the dirty DC cops. These people that give police officers a really bad name, and which causes the sympathy for a lot of the police would normally get. They don't get it because of the dirty cops out there. What about?
I don't understand where the moral compass of the dirty cops lies. Right? I mean, the FBI agents who are raiding people's houses. I mean, what are they? How do they sleep at night? What do they think? Are they so brainwashed? Are they so socialized that they just unquestioningly obey orders? I mean, is that the mindset that they bring to the table? I really don't understand.
Well, there's a number of places. There's a number of places in God's Word, the Bible, that explain that. The Book of Hosea, especially, but in Isaiah too and Jeremiah, their behavior, what they've done is they've sold themselves out cheap. They've sold, and so the Bible calls them whores. So they've gone a whoring. They've become whores. In fact, that's what it says in Hosea 4. It says you become whores. Okay, and it was talking about those that have gone against. Lost all of their honor, lost all their integrity, and just sold themselves cheap for money. And so we had some dirty cops here in Cleveland during the years, the pro-life years. And I think I've told you before, one time they had, I was out at the abortion mill, and I was sprayed in my face with mace. And I called the police, and two very whorish girls, if you know why I say that if you'd have been there, but they snuck up behind me, tapped me on the shoulder when I turned around, sprayed me in my eyes. So I called the police. The cops came down, and I told them what happened. And so they go in, and they said the doctor will be in. There wasn't no doctor. It was a bloody abortionist there, Marty, little Marty, Reddick. And so... But what they found on his desk in his office was an envelope with cash, a lot of cash sticking out. And so these stupid cops, two stupid, young, stupid cops, come walking out the door right in front of me, carrying the envelope where I can see it in plain sight with the cash. And I said, you guys don't make enough money as cops? They said, no. And they were laughing. They said, Pastor, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. I said, you're not going to press charges? No, they were laughing, right? So I thought, well, I got to help these guys. They're not making enough money as cops. So I had their names and badge numbers and numbers in town. But then I went on the radio, and I gave their names and badge numbers out, and I said, these guys need some help. Maybe if you're running child porn or cockfights or dogfights, any illegal activity, you want cops that have got no values, will do anything for a buck, will sell their grandmother, call. And I gave the phone number and over there to the police station. Well, I got their attention. Okay, so anyhow, yeah. So you know,
when I grow up, I want to be just like you.
All right. Okay. Well, you know what it's being called? It's called calling them out. You know, and this is what I've been preaching on. And just let me ask you: if the pastors in this country, if all of the pastors had the courage to do what they were supposed to do. You know, Moses called out Pharaoh. Nathan called out David. Elijah called out Ahab and Jezebel. Samuel called out Saul. John the Baptist called out Herod. Micaiah called out Ahab. Jesus called out the Apostle Paul in Acts 9 on the road to Damascus. Peter called out Simeon the sorcerer, and Peter also called out Ananias and Sapphira. Stephen called out the entire Sanhedrin. Remember, and Jesus called out all the Pharisees. It goes on and on in the Bible. Now, if the pastors today had the courage to do that, to call him out by name, what if Franklin Graham was to say, Joe Biden, abortion is a sin, Joe Biden. We do with these young people forcing these things in the school where they mutilate these children with these transgender or transsex operations. What if Franklin Graham, what if Charles Stanley, what if all of these pastors, John MacArthur, what if they all come out and called them out by name, like John the Baptist and Moses and Elijah and Samuel did? Do you think that these evil, wicked people might be running for cover?
I think that they would, and I think it would be a completely different world. And, you know, that's why I get up and do what I do every day, and I couldn't agree with you more. More people need to stand up and speak out and you know, call the devil the devil.
I've been doing it for 50 years, been calling them out by name. Listen here, number 9, that you can continue to release violent criminals back on the streets without prosecuting them for their crimes and expect them to stop committing crimes. That is delusionary, okay? Because you got George Soros prostitutors, you know, the prostitutes as so-called prosecutors. Number 10, that you can allow Austin and Milley to continue to disrespect our military, to force the brightest and the best to take the bioweapon jab or resign. That you can use lesbian and transgender recruiting films for the military and promote drag queens as a role model. You know, I watched the Russian and the Chinese, their recruiting films. They had these special forces warriors. I mean, really powerful, the type of recruiting film that would attract the bold and the brave. Then I saw ours, what Milley had put together. You had drag queens. You had lesbians in there talking about transgender. This is purposely, the entire purpose is to destroy our military. Our military today is the weakest that it's ever been. It's the weakest, and you can thank Milley and Austin and Joe Obama for that. To pretend that you can shut down, this is 11, production of fertilizer plants and force farmers and ranchers out of business and still have enough food to feed the people. It's going to be a cold, dark winter. It is. The largest farmer in America has announced that he will only plant half of what he normally does next year. And so in so many farms, yeah, so many farms aren't planting anything. To pretend that the bioweapon jab will actually keep you from getting COVID and take the mask, and that the mask will actually stop a virus. You know, right now the reports come out. People, in fact, I just read one yesterday here that in England, that they're telling the truth out there in the media. Those people that have had three of the jabs, have taken three jabs, are 91% of the deaths of COVID. 91% of the people that are dying of COVID are ones that have had three jabs. 97% of the ones are the ones that have had four jabs. But you're not going to see that in our fake news media, are you?
No, not 100%. And this is, you know, there's lies and there's damn lies. And the way to make a lie perpetuate is just to keep telling it, and then to tell a bigger and a stronger lie. And that's what they're doing. And the media is 100% complicit with this. They've all got blood on their hands. And honestly, I don't know how or where it's going to end. I mean, I don't, when I look down the road, I don't, the outcomes here are unclear to me, Pastor. The outcomes are unclear to me.
Well, I got good news for you. The outcomes become very clear. It's right in God's Word, the King James Bible. You read it to the end, and you will see exactly what the outcome will be. And it has never, ever been more accurate than it is today. Now, this is number 13. To pretend that to know what a woman is sexist and discriminatory because men are more likely to know what they are than women are able to know what they are. And that's the reason that nobody is asking what a man is. Do you understand? They're saying that men are much more able to know that they're men than women are to know what they are. Now, I don't know where this comes from, but it definitely, well, yeah, it comes right. It's got to come from the insanity, right from the pit of hell. God is not the author of confusion. And so now, and by the way, did you see where, who was it? The PU, The View, just came out, yeah. And they said Republican women are like cockroaches. You hear that, ladies out there? Now listen to this one, number 14. It's discriminatory and racist to think that men can't give birth or nurse a baby. Well, you see, if they've given birth and nursed a baby, they're not men. I knew that, for I've known that all my life. You know, so now, but of course, this is too deep for the other side. Now, in fact, they're not called women; they're called the birthing parent, and the birthing parent feeds the baby with chest milk. Okay, where is this lunacy coming from? Well, again, God is not the author of confusion. Listen to this. Boston Children's Hospital has discovered, Peter, that babies know at birth if they are transgender. Now, I find that interesting because, Peter, half these kids going to high school now or college, they don't know if they're male or female. Okay? But these babies know that they're transgender?
Your logic, as always, is infallible, and yet it is lost on the left. And I don't really, you know, it's as a naturopathic doctor, I'm trained to look to the root cause of everything. It's second nature to me now after 3 decades of doing this. And I'm struggling, trying to see where the root cause of all of this liberal insanity is, and I guess it just must be this kind of built-in willingness to accept all points of view, without any critique or any criticism whatsoever. I mean, where does it end? And it's ironic, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you where it comes from. Here's where it comes from, because Karl Marx wrote in his books that in order to control the people, you've got to do several things. One, and Stalin said the same thing, you've got to destroy their past. You've got to get rid of it. In order to control the future, you've got to destroy their past. Take down the statues, destroy their history, go with revisionist history. But number two, you have to have the people caught off balance, confused, uncertain, frightened. So, in other words, they say things that are completely lunacy, just pure lunacy, and you're supposed to be too afraid to speak out against it. And that this is the mindset, and they've done that. These college kids, they've made them complete little snowflakes, disasters. But let me give you this real quick. This is until Joe Obama and Buttigieg, I was totally, totally unaware that I may have been driving across racist bridges. I wasn't even aware of a racist bridge, but I heard Joe Obama talking about that, and Buttigieg was the one who told him. So I could have stopped on a racist bridge. I could have stopped. If I'd have been on that racist bridge, I could have come off there. What if I'd have seen a fat person? What, I'd have come off there hating fat people. What if I'd have seen a Mexican or a black or a Jewish? I would have come off that while I was on that racist bridge, right? But now I know to watch what bridge I'm on. Now, I realized because that the seats were small and there was no leg room in the commercial airplanes. You know, they've always had small seats. Well, too small for me, but anyhow. And I didn't realize that the reason for that was rich white men. White men, and the racist white men, made those seats too small on purpose and to prosecute or persecute minorities. I didn't even know that. No. Until I found out from the CEO of Coca-Cola that we needed to become less white, we all needed to become less white. So I quit drinking Coca-Cola when I heard him say that, because I looked at, and I've been coming whiter and whiter ever since I quit drinking Coke. And then a lot more people out there have quit drinking Coke now, and they're coming whiter too, okay? And then last but not least, I can find solace in the immortal words, of Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris said this, Peter. She said, when you see a yellow school bus, makes you feel good. Well, I got behind one, and I didn't feel good, okay, at all, all right? So, again, she wasn't telling the truth, but those words will live in empty. When you see that yellow school bus, you'll feel good. We'll be back after this.
When your world has come unglued and you don't know what to do, remember God, He's the one that made you. When the world has put you down and your life is one big frown, remember Him, He's the one who loves you. And through all kinds of trouble, you'll find He'll never change. Through the good times and the sorrows, Almighty God is still His name. When you've been done all wrong and you need someone who's strong, remember Him, He's the one who loves you. And through all kinds of trouble, you'll find He'll never change. When the world has found you guilty, He'll take away the blame.
Away the blame.
He's always right. He's never wrong. He'll make your troubles all be gone. Remember Him. He's the one who loves you. Remember Him. He's the one who loves you. Remember Him. He's the one who loves you. Remember Him, He's the one who loves you. Remember Him, He's the one who died for you.
All right, we're back, and we have none other than Dr. Peter Glidden, who doesn't really need an introduction, but you know what's happening, Peter. You're here tonight, and so far what we've done has really got the opposition upset because they're trying to take us down. And so, I know the folks that were listening to us, they've taken about half our stations down tonight for some reason. They've got the jitters and all kinds of things. So we've changed and switched over to other lines here, and hopefully we can pick them back up. But just so you know, that's what's happening here in our world. And so, do you see, Peter, have you noticed something that more and more doctors now are coming out and they're saying enough is enough. We're not going along with, we're no longer going to go along with Big Pharma, and they're switching back. They're trying to get back to going back to natural homeopathic holistic medicine. What do you think?
Well, not nearly enough. I mean, yes, it's a trend, and it's been a growing trend over the last 20 years. It is picking up steam lately, but really it's just it's a drop in the bucket as far as I'm concerned. You know, I mean, right now, if I know personally about 250 doctors only that I would be comfortable referring a friend or a family member to. 250. You know, how many, what is it, 350 million people now in the United States? Something like that. It's crazy. It's not nearly enough. And more and more medical doctors are, you know, being churned out by the medical schools every year, and the licensing is going crazy, and they're really cracking down on nutritional supplement manufacture in Canada. It's only a matter of time until it reaches here in the United States, especially if Dick Durbin has anything to do with it. So, you know, there always is a little glimmer of hope, and there are people who are starting to see the light. And the reason that they're starting to see the light medically is the same reason that people will see the light spiritually, because the truth is the truth. And once you've experienced the truth, you're in its velvet grasp forever. So the people that do see the light and switch over to the holistic method medically, their lives are transformed and their practices are enriched, and all of a sudden they're actually helping people to heal, and that's a wonderful thing. But as far as I'm concerned, Pastor, you know, we need to increase the turnover by a factor of 1,000.
Yeah, you do. But here's one of the things that I have noticed, too. I just recently was speaking to some people that working for social services, they, you know, where they, that's what the job, and before 110% in with the vax and all of this. But now, so I talked to this lady. I said, let me ask you a question. Do you actually think, and tell me, do you actually think by getting that, that's going to keep you from getting COVID? And she said, no, not at all. She said, I've had all the shots and I've already gotten it twice, okay? So now people are seeing something. They're seeing that you're much more likely, if you've had the poison poke, to get the COVID. I mean, it's coming out. They can't keep it here. Here's an article right here. Death by vax. Excess mortality up 17% among the fully vaccinated. Okay. Black Ops, Sci-Fi, whatever, this naval intelligence officer and data. This is a guy who's a former Black Ops top Secret Service naval intelligence officer and data expert claims that based on data from the U.S. Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, excess among the fully vaccinated is up 17% right now. Not only that, but rates of cancer in those that took the jabs from Operation Warp Speed are at a 9-sigma rise, which the individual who put all this together describes as a hard rudder turn for cancer. That means something is right ahead. So the CDC is concerned that the truth coming out, the person adds that it is committing blatant fraud to cover it all up. And so more and more, what I'm telling you is more and more people are understanding now, and these so-called just the flu shots that they're talking about, we're seeing that they've got the mRNA in that too. So people are losing confidence very rapidly. And let me just say that I don't, these stats that they're trying to give us about how many people have taken the shots, they are way, way exaggerated. Completely and totally exaggerated.
There was a New Zealand funeral director at the beginning of the week who spoke out over the COVID jab deaths. According to him, 95% of the people who wound up at his funeral home had received a jab 2 weeks prior to their death, 95% in New Zealand.
Well, you know, here's an interesting thing. I normally do 2 to 3 funerals a year. This year, between January and June, I did 8. And I talked to the funeral director out there, and they're telling me they're busier than they've ever been. The morgues are full of people, and they're finding all of these very strange growths, things that in their, you know, yeah. when they do the autopsies, the people are being turned into mutants, all these mutations.
And lots of stillbirths, too, with really strange deformities in the babies.
Yeah, a huge amount. And, yeah, I just got a text, too, from there in Florida in the Tampa area out there, or no, Gainesville, okay. The text came from Tampa, but it was Gainesville, where a woman said she went in to a clinic there, like one of these emergency cares, or and anyhow, she said the place was filled with women, young women, and their babies, and their babies were having a hard time breathing.
Yeah.
And these were all newborn babies.
Yeah. So. It's a tragedy of biblical proportions. And, you know, I think, I'm going to tell you what I think. I think that the people who think like we think are actually in the majority, but we don't have a media voice. We just don't. And I think really what needs to change is the whole media thing needs to change. Maybe things will change now that Elon Musk owns Twitter. Who knows?
Yeah, I can get back on Twitter now. Do you know, yeah. I set a record. It took them 15 seconds to deny me. As soon as they heard my name, that was it. Boom. Oh, okay. That was amazing. Have you seen that film that's out about Fauci now?
Yeah.
It's a two-hour film. Everything you said, everything that you've been saying on this radio program about the Rockefeller Foundation changing and making these pills out of oil, you know, and switching over from the natural vitamins, the natural minerals, the natural health there over to pharmaceuticals. Every single thing you said in there was in that film. It was like they listened to you.
it's amazing. The truth will out. And again, the only reason that my profession continues to exist in such a hostile political climate is because we consider ourselves advocates of the truth, right? Natural law is natural law. And 2 + 2 in base 10 mathematics is 4. It always has been, and it always will be. So people just need to be brave enough to speak the truth. And when you do speak the truth, well, eventually that will catch up with you, and hopefully it's catching up with me and with you.
Let me ask you this, because I've noticed here there's a couple of small cities here in our area where there's as many health food stores in the city as there are drug stores.
You know, I've always thought about that, and I've just thought it was ironic, right? And nobody really puts these two things together. But if a health food store is called a health food store, what does that make the normal grocery store? The death food store? The sick food store? I mean, it has to. And my colleagues and I have identified 12 foods that nobody should look at, let alone eat, because when you eat these foods, they will generate net negative physiological responses. It's not a good idea to eat these foods. And yet, all of these foods are foods that people eat all of the time. Now, if it was one or two of the foods, that would have been a coincidence, but it's all of them. People eat these foods all of the time. And that was done on purpose. The older that I get, the wider that my eyes are opened and the more perspective on things I see, I am of the belief that for 100 years now, maybe more, we've lived inside of a culture that promotes foods that make people sick in order to make people sick. And then the only medicine that those people have access to is pharmaceutical-centrist medicine. And the pharmaceutical method does not intend to cure the disease. It just manages it. So as you get older, you get sicker, you get more dependent on the drugs and weaker, and then another illness, and then another drug, and then another illness, and then another drug. And then the last 10 years of your life, It's a revolving door to the emergency room. And in the last 4 years of your life, you spend 80% of your health care dollars on heroic methods to try to keep you alive for an extra day or an extra week or an extra month. And this is what passes for the best medicine in the world. It's a crap show from start to finish.
All right. You've written two books, Everybody's Sick and I Know Why, and Attempt to Cure, the Holistic Medicine. Tell the folks how they can get these books. Well, we have some of them right here, okay?
Well, the easiest way is just to call up Pastor's Show. We've donated a number of books to Pastor, and when you purchase a book through Ernie's website, through Ernie's station, then you're supporting his mission.
Well, we don't really sell them. They get donations, and for people that need them and some that can't afford it, we'll give it to them anyhow, because that's what we do. But anyhow, yeah, it's so we have, for example, with a donation of $50 or more, we will send them Attempt to Cure. This is a book that is I'll tell you, it goes, what, about 400 pages?
It's
about 300 pages, I think it is. But, boy, you have everything in there. You list all the different ailments from A to Z, and then what you would take, the natural medicines that you would take for that ailment. It is dynamite. But how would they get your products that you sell? Because you have some dynamites from longevity.
Yeah, so I've been doing this for 34 years, and, you know, you start to see patterns develop after 34 years. And I've, you know, naturopathic doctors, we are the gatekeepers to the nutraceutical industry. I mean, that's what we do. So I've been aware of nutritional supplement companies that only sell to doctors, that lay people can't have access to, only doctors have access to it. And of all the companies that I've seen and that I've used over the last three decades, I prefer the nutritional supplements sold by Youngevity, and my preferred distributor of the Youngevity products, because Youngevity sells their products through a network of independent distributors all around the world, is a company called Eiffel Health. And their number is 888-618-1796. It's toll-free, 888-618-1796. Just give them a call, and they'll bring you up to speed with the supplements that I take and the ones that I recommend. The website is Eiffel, like the tower in France, E-I-F-F-E-L, health, EiffelHealth.com.
All right, what about people, they want to talk to you and with questions to you about their health?
I treat people all around the world via not really telemedicine. I can't call it telemedicine. Isn't that something, Pastor? I can't call it telemedicine. I have to call it telehealth.
Oh, okay.
It's a little crazy. Even though I'm a licensed physician, and I've been licensed for 34 years, they don't like it when you start working outside of the box like that. But people, just the easiest way to get my information is to visit my website. And that's drglidden.com, G-L-I-D-D-E-N, just like the paint, no relation, drglidden.com.
All right. I got a couple of questions I want to ask you real quick. I've been wondering about this. But first, before I do that, are you aware that they're going after Sherry Tenpenny? They're trying to put her in jail?
No, I was not aware of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to have to give her a call and tell her that I'm here, I'm waiting, whatever she needs that I can do to help her. Yeah, yeah, they're going after her. They're going to try to pull her medical license. And so...
Because she's been telling the truth about vaccines, is that why?
Yeah, that's exactly why.
Yeah. And, well, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And, you know, eventually these people, they're going to overreach. They're going to just take one bridge too far, and they're gonna cause a stir. And you don't want to swat this hornet's nest too hard, because the holistic people that I know, we will, in fact, hit back. And I don't think they're going to see it coming, but eventually they're gonna take it one step too far. And the only reason that they're doing this over and over and over again is because nobody's fought back. You know, nobody's punched the bully in the nose.
Well, a few of you have, and that's the same thing with what I'm telling you. For 50 years, I've been wanting to know why the pastors won't stand up and punch back. Okay, because if anybody's supposed to do it, it's them, and there's a dearth of courage. There's been such a dearth of courage from the pulpit, and in fact, you know, even years ago, I remember. You probably remember a fellow named Charles Finney. And Charles Finney, you know, he wrote this back in 1873. Here's what he said. If there is a decay of conscience in the pulpit is responsible. If the public press lacks moral discernment, the pulpit is responsible. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in Christianity, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in our halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt, like they are today, that the very foundation of our governments are ready to fall away, the pulpit is responsible for it. So I understand your frustration. I've been preaching on this for half a century. But let me ask you this. I'm going to switch over a little bit here in a minute The Bible tells you that in Timothy chapter 4 that all things that God has made, all things, okay, that if you ask and you pray, they're sanctified through your prayers. So all things that God has made is good to eat. Okay, now it doesn't say today that all things, you know, that we have today, the way that especially the animals and the meat, the things that are in them, okay? But I've had known a lot of different holistic medicine people, and some will tell you these foods are not good. Others will say, no, these foods are good, but no, these other foods are not good. So within your profession, you have a lot of folks out there that have different opinions on which foods are good foods and which foods aren't foods. And so how do you deal with that?
Well, you lean on the science. And sometimes it takes convincing. The only place that I really see any type of differences of opinion, I mean, everybody's in agreement that asbestos is bad, right?
Right.
It gets to a point where there are just certain things that are just set in stone, and you'd be a fool to believe otherwise. So concerning the 12 bad foods, most of my colleagues are on that page. But where there's differences of opinion is that in addition to the 12 bad foods, which are generic, it is entirely possible, and I've seen it over and over again, that people can also individually be susceptible to certain foods. You know, like, for instance, my physiology of my body does not tolerate cow's milk. It just doesn't. Cow's milk is not one of the 12 bad foods. My brother's physiology tolerates cow's milk just fine. So there is a little bit of individualization that will happen, and the only way that you can figure that is with lab work. There's a lot of different ways to skin that cat. But that's really where the differences lie, is in the kind of the individualizing of the specific foods that are bad for your body, bad for my body, bad for my next door neighbor's body. It's like that.
Well, I've heard a number of naturopaths say that cow's milk was made for cows to put 700, 800, 900 pounds on you. So you drink cow's milk, you're going to end up being a fat slob. Okay. Yet I know people that love cow's milk and they drink it all the time, and that's not the case.
It's funny like that. So that's where we have to individualize, and that's where it gets complicated for people in the lay population, because they're hearing these differing opinions, and they're really not conflicting opinions. They just need a frame of reference to understand them in, really.
So what about, too, all vitamins are not the same vitamins. I noticed some of these, the vitamins now. From what I heard, vitamins that are made from natural food, by natural food, are the best vitamins. But that some of these vitamins actually, you know, are made from things like clamshells and things like that, that that you don't even digest very well, but you find them in the drugstores, and the vitamin A, vitamin B, vitamin C, but they're not natural A, B, and C.
Well, so I mean, all wine is made from grapes, but there's a great deal of difference from bottle to bottle. There's a big deal of difference between Annie Boonspring's green apple wine and a nice French Cabernet, right? So it's the raw materials, it's the preparation process, and it's the recipe. It's like chicken soup. A lot of different recipes for chicken soup. There's a lot of different recipes for nutritional supplements. And it all comes back to the raw material. It comes back to the preparation process. Is it a liquid? Is it a powder? Is it a gel cap? Is it a hard-pressed tablet? Is it a hard-pressed tablet with a shellac coating on it? What's in the tablet? How many constituents are in the tablets? All these variables, man. There are a lot of variables. And the good nutritional supplement companies take care of the variables, and they buy the best raw materials, and the bad nutritional supplement companies, all they want to do is sell stuff. So they'll buy the grade C vitamin A instead of the grade A vitamin A, and nobody knows the difference. And they'll, you know, so there's a great deal of variation along that theme from company to company. And that's why I like the stuff that Eiffel Health sells the most, because in my clinical experience of 34 years now, that stuff, more often than not, produces exceptional results, whereas other things, not so much.
All right, let me ask you this, because one of those 12 foods, I believe, maybe was olive oil. Am I right about that?
Yeah, that's correct. Olive oil, and that's
yet,
a bitter pill.
Yeah, but I got the package that you sent me from Longevity in there. I want to thank you for it, because right now, while we're doing this radio program, sitting next to me here, I've got a cup, and I've got the calcium and the minerals, and I've got a lime juice in there with carbonated water. And so I actually got me like a lime pop here that I made from that, and it's very healthy. But in that packet, also I got some olive oil, some very, very pure little bottle of olive oil.
Well, I think it was a bottle of fish oil, Pastor. Was it called Prohoba Omegas?
No, I got that too, yeah. No, it's actually olive oil. It's actually olive oil, and I've been using it on my salads, and it's pretty good, okay? It's in a small bottle. It's not a large bottle.
Yeah, it's a really small bottle. So the problem with oil, the problem with olive oil is that most of the olive oil that gets to the United States is not 100% pure olive oil. And if you want to really drill deep down into this, there's an olive oil mafia that's been in existence for 100 years. It's a multi-million, if not billion-dollar industry a year. And a lot of the oil that makes it to the United States is adulterated, even though it says on the bottle 100% grade A, virgin, pure, pure, virgin, whatever. It's not. Number one. Number two, the problem with the oil, any oil, whether it's olive oil or canola oil or rapeseed oil or any oil at all, is in the bottle. At the top of the bottle, there's air. Between the top of the oil and the bottom of the cap, there's a little column of air, and the air has oxygen in it, and the oil becomes oxidized as it sits on the shelf, and the hotter that it gets, if it's being shipped somewhere, the more it oxidizes. And it's the oxidation of the oil that's the problem.
Peter, hang up. We're up against a hard break, so hold tight. We'll be back right after this with a lot more.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. The southern border is wide open, and we have to tell the world about it. Our team at Turning Point USA has been working over the last year to have a one-of-a-kind documentary all about the drugs, the guns, the crime, the criminals that are flowing across the southern border. Our team at Turning Point USA has been working so hard on this through amazing frontline footage that shows the Border Patrol agents, shows people crossing the border, the illegal drug trade, the economic and societal fallout that illegal immigration has on the United States. Every single state is a border state. And we here being headquartered in Phoenix, Arizona, want the rest of the country, want you all across America to see what we are living through in Arizona. It's a one-of-a-kind docuseries available exclusively on SalemNow.com. That is SalemNow.com. You guys will see the porous southern border wide open and what we can do to solve it. If you want to learn about the border, this is your opportunity. Brought to you by Turning Point USA, available at SalemNow.com.